This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So Chris O'Brien is on special assignment. More important, the employer he works for, where he does those Grand Canyon tours, said, "You've got to work today." And he said, "Yes, sir," because it means, you know, good money for him. So he is not on this episode. So we called in our old friend Micah Hanks to be our guest co-host. Micah, how have you been?
I have been wonderful, and it's always a pleasure. I remember coming on your show years ago as a guest, but to think that I get to fill the very formidable shoes of Mr. O'Brien from time to time and just catch up with you, it's wonderful. Now, I don't know that the listeners will appreciate that as much as you and I do, but it's good to be here nonetheless.
Well, you know, we're glad to have you in either case, you know, just because we needed somebody to fill the time, but we had to have somebody who does it, has the chops to get in here without a lot of preparation or advance warning and come up to speed. Speaking of coming up to speed, don't know if you've listened to the recent episodes, but we get in trouble on the Paracast, Chris and I, when we mention politics.
Oh, you too, huh?
Oh, it happens to you.
Oh, yes.
All right, tell us some war stories here, and I'll give you a few of ours.
Well, you know, I do a decidedly, unapologetically centrist podcast every week called Middle Theory. And the reason I do that is because on my primary podcast, The Graylian Report, which I've been doing, gosh, for 5 or 6, maybe 7 years now, if I ever would bring up politics, we did a whole episode, for instance, back when the Benghazi scandal came out. And I thought that this would be an interesting way to infuse a little news and current events and maybe some discussion of conspiracy into a show that already, in the introduction, says where conspiracy theory becomes conspiracy fact. But the listenership is quick to do one of two things. We love that and want to hear more of it. Or the other 50% who say we never want to hear politics again are listening to a show that deals with supernatural and unexplained and strange topics. This is something that is a repast for us, a break from the 24-hour news cycles and the spin cycles that are going on out there. So we don't want to hear that. And so I can sympathize with you guys when you say that, you know, you're castigated for discussing those things. But, you know, you win some, you lose some. You're going to be castigated no matter what. And so I figured I'll at least move those subjects to a different format altogether. And that's why I do Middle Theory. But even on Middle Theory, trying to be centrist and approaching the news without putting a heavy bias on it, I still will get it from both sides. People will say, "Well, Mikey, you've got a leftist agenda." I get that an awful lot.
That's part of the problem here, especially on the more conservative shows. Anyone who is somewhat to the left, even if they're centrist or right of center, becomes a flaming liberal. All Democrats have to be flaming liberals. They can't just be people who have moderate views on different subjects, and some are more left, some are more right. I mean, that's what's so ridiculous about how that works. But the more important thing is, when it comes to the paranormal world, I don't think you can separate politics, because look at all the people who are asking for UFO disclosure. Who's going to disclose UFOs? Governments. Who runs the government? Well, of course, the politicians. So suddenly you are in the political realm. Or, for example, when Secretary Clinton, running for president, promises to look into the UFO matter, or her chairman of her campaign committee, John Podesta, who's been doing it for 20 years, he's been interested in UFOs and made no bones about it. When they start talking UFOs, these are politicians talking UFOs. If you ever read a book by Major Donald Kehoe, the pioneer in the UFO field, it was very, very much about politics, about the silence group, about the forces within the government who might be keeping the UFO secret. How do you leave politics out of it anyway?
Well, I don't really think that you can. Coming back to what you said earlier about you express a particular position on an issue, and suddenly this is something that is touted as being either a liberal or a conservative issue, and you're suddenly branded as being of that particular ideology, and usually to the extreme, whereas really, I know in my case this is true, I may just hold a particular view about a social issue or an economic issue that happens to fall into the general ideology of a liberal or a conservative in America today. But the polarization is where the problem is. Now, coming to Kehoe and the history of politics involved with the UFO subject, absolutely, the two are inseparable. And that's the modern exopolitical movement or the disclosure movement that we see. Again, you know, I am very careful, Gene, about giving myself to the idea that aliens from space are what we're dealing with here. I think that there are a lot of varieties of potentials. But Kehoe, keep in mind, he wrote that book. I have that on my shelf over here, Aliens from Space. He was very much of the mind that this phenomenon could not be explained in any other way. We had to be dealing with something that was in likelihood extraterrestrial. And yes, that there was, or it needed to be, a political movement behind acquisition of that data from whoever may be withholding from the public the real information about what we're dealing with. So reading his stuff years after the fact is not only very interesting, but it does put in perspective the necessary understanding of how politics fits into the UFO subject and vice versa, which, again, like you're discussing with Clinton and Podesta, yeah, we see it very much in the 2016 election.
I'm just surprised here that Trump isn't tweeting back and forth. He's talking about crooked Hillary, lock her up. How about spaced out Hillary because she wants to look into UFOs? I'm surprised he hasn't latched on to that.
But it is interesting that people don't seem to attack her very much over what, again, the scientific establishment would consider an extremely silly position to hold. That there's nothing to see here, therefore why would you investigate and try to call for disclosure of government UFO files? She said during her DNC speech, her acceptance speech the other night, quote, "I believe in science," and then she kind of giggled. And, of course, people in the scientific establishment gave her some trouble over that because they said, well, science isn't about belief, Hillary. Look, come on. I understand what she was trying to say.
Because we have a political party that makes up science. They don't accept science. I mean, it's one thing to disagree with scientific findings, especially if you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But not to take accepted science and just make up things.
Really, in fairness, would say I see a little of it on both sides of the political spectrum. I think that coming to UFOs, that can be something that can be discussed both politically and scientifically. And so that's what's interesting about Clinton's advocacy of UFO disclosure is that she is being touted right now as the science candidate, and yet the scientific establishment seems to be saying very little about or expressing very little concern about her interest in UFOs. So maybe the question here is, do people like she and Podesta bring an air of credibility to the scientific discussion and the political discussion of the UFO subject? Now, take that for what it is. It's not an endorsement. I'm just saying she very well may be able to do that. But, and I do find that interesting. Again, this is something that you don't hear an awful lot about, and I think you're right to point that out. So why is she not attacked by Trump or whoever else for holding that position? That's interesting.
It may be that Trump is focusing on a narrow area of attack, and this is kind of out of his radar. He doesn't see this because it's not something he concentrates into. He'll talk about crooked Hillary, about the email. He'll talk about her being the person who started ISIS. That's one of the recent charges he's made. But UFOs is something so far beyond his attention. He hasn't ever focused on it. It has nothing to do with his experience. And so, therefore, it is to him alien.
Yes, I suppose so. Bernie Sanders, earlier in the primaries, had been asked about his interest in UFOs, and he essentially put that subject down and said, I don't have any interest in that. That's not going to be a fundamental tenet of my campaign. And when we go back to 2008, Barack Obama had expressed a similar sentiment during one of the debates that was televised. He was asked, essentially, what do you think about alien life? And he says, look, I don't know if there's life out there, but I do know life exists here on Earth. And as president, I'm going to address that first. So in terms of the hierarchy of concerns, I realize politicians, left or right, are not going to be typically of a mind to say that UFOs are the fundamental tenet of my campaign. But, Gene, who is that guy? Bisaggio. Andrew Bisaggio, I think. He's talking about having been one of these time travelers. He wants UFO disclosure and all this. You know who I'm talking about?
I do. We had thought from time to time to bring him on the show, but it would be something that would end up being a bloodbath. And I'll give you an example of that. We'll take it into the next segment when we bring our listeners on. And that is, we had Grant Cameron on, and I got into it with him for a number of reasons. We're going to have a listener roundtable. Michael Hanks is our guest co-host. We'll have Sue, and we'll have Ufology. And they'll be joining us in just a moment. So with Gene and Micah, you're in
the Paracast.
The award-winning Graphic Converter 10, the universal genius for photo editing apps on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for the Swiss Army Knife app. It gives you all the features that you expect, and most important, it's easy to use. You can get it for just $39.95 from www.lemkesoft.com. That's www.lemkesoft.com.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly, certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of Slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, we finally made it. I have to tell you that Skype was doing one of its things. And maybe because Microsoft has taken Skype and instead of having it peer-to-peer, where each computer originating a Skype contact would be part of the network, kind of like in the old days when you had Napster and you downloaded the songs and everything. Instead, they moved everything up in the cloud to this amorphous network. And now things are crazy, but we have Micah Hanks as our guest co-host. Chris is on special assignment. We have two listeners joining us, Sue and Randall, sometimes known as Ufology. Randall, we finally made it with you. We got you on.
Sure, it's great to be back, Gene.
Great to have you. We were talking about a subject, and I'd like to get your input, both of you here. And that is, Sue and Randall, the big issue that really we get in trouble with on the Paracast is whenever we talk about politics, even if it's politics as related to the paranormal. Because as soon as you talk about UFO disclosure, you're dealing with politicians. As soon as you find a politician who promises to get to the bottom of it, like a certain former Secretary of State Clinton, you have politics. As soon as you read a book from Major Donald Kehoe, and even the book by the late Captain Ruppelt, politics gets into it. So what do I do, Randall?
Well, that's okay, Sue. You started off. That's fine.
I think there's a perfectly valid entrance for talking about politics with regard to UFOs when it comes to disclosure, because you've kind of got two competing lenses aimed at the same topic. There's the whole UFO angle on the matter, and then you have to take into account the way the world of real politics works and kind of triangulate the two and see how well they fit over one another. That's my first impression. That kind of discussion, I think, is really interesting and fruitful. Randall, your thoughts?
Actually, I agree with you completely. I think it's part of the way that politics is structured. You can follow all of the candidates around, and you know that wherever they go, they've got people who are looking at the demographics and what people think. And so when they're in a place where people want to hear a certain thing, they say what those people want to hear. And, of course, that's why you get all of the contradictions, because in one place some people are going to think something different, and in another place they'll think something different again. So when they're around where people want to know about UFOs, they're going to tell them what they want to hear, and then when they get into office, like everything else, they just do what they want to do.
Or they do what the person who contributed $100 million to their campaign wants them to do. And there's no UFO lobby of that size. If Stephen Bassett could raise $100 million for a political action committee to put money into the particular candidate that he prefers, then I assure you the UFO lobby would get attention.
Well, that kind of raises a question for me. With all the increase in the private space program stuff going on, is that going to mean that there are going to be more reports of sightings coming from those avenues, or would they not reach the public because they're from privately funded ventures? You know what I mean?
They have no obligation to tell anybody anything. They're private.
But they might want to talk about it anyway.
Well, we've already had that happening with several companies, but no UFOs yet.
You know, one thing I'm reminded of, guys, is Robert Bigelow, and of course Bigelow Aerospace. He is one of these private companies, and before that, he, of course, had the National Institute for Discovery Science, and they sometimes did reveal some of their findings in public reports. But then again, there's also the other side of that coin, in which Bigelow certainly kept some of his findings and research away from public eyes, and furthermore had hoped to try and work with MUFON in order to be able to gain access to their information. And again, a civilian group, as MUFON is, they also, for a variety of reasons, but namely, of course, because they are a membership organization, they also, and I think perhaps with good reason, keep some of their files private just as well. In other words, how else would they appeal to new membership if they didn't? So there are a variety of reasons why a private entity would maybe keep certain things off record, so to speak, just as well. I guess the question is there therefore a cause for some sort of a nonprofit organization that would be completely 100% transparent about its findings, that would be able to try and glean interest and funding and scientific research into UFOs, that would truly fairly present and be entirely forthcoming with information found in terms of the way it communicates with the public? Could that kind of a thing really realistically happen?
I think so. I know that's what I've been trying to do with the group that I've got here, and I don't charge anything to be part of our website or membership in the group or anything like that, but the trick is getting people actually involved who want to spend the time. Everyone has a lot of good ideas, but getting them off the couch is pretty tough sometimes.
Randall, can you recap what your group is and what you do?
Oh, it's the Ufology Society International. I've had it for, nearly 30 years now. And we've got a few thousand members in about 20, 25 countries around the world. And everyone loves to support the idea in principle, but getting someone who is willing to take even just time to put in to write articles, to do some research, to do more than just support the cause in principle, that's really tough.
Yeah, certainly is. Thank you, by the way.
But we look at this here. I don't foresee ever UFO disclosure. I think if there is a revelation about UFOs, it would be externally driven. But the other thing to bear in mind here is if you put all or a lot of the key elements of UFO research from the government into the private sector, immediately they don't have the obligation to tell you. Bob Bigelow does not have the obligation to tell you. Elon Musk doesn't have to tell you a thing, even though SpaceX is taking off and landing and he plans to send men to Mars 10, 15 years ahead of NASA. He's got all this stuff going on. But if there were UFO sightings, he's not a public official. He can do what he wants as long as it's not against the law. And even then you wonder.
Well, yeah. I remember when we were talking about Bigelow one time, so I went to his website, and he was actually recruiting people to work for him on discovering how UFOs work. And he was really focusing on their propulsion systems, and you can imagine what benefit that could be to a private corporation if they were able to figure that out. And I remember him advertising for outside-the-box thinkers. And when I went to look at what he wanted in terms of credentials, they were all inside-the-box credentials, people with degrees in physics or math or whatever it happened to be. So you have this person who wants to think outside the box but is only hiring people who think inside the box to get it done. And I thought that was a little ironic.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, yeah.
Yeah, Sue, go ahead. I'm sorry. I think I may have cut you off, by the way.
Oh, I thought that was an interesting point, and I wonder if I could kind of pose a question putting it in broader context, because I'm not super familiar with the history of UFOs, but it does seem like there was a switch from a kind of era of public discourse about UFO sightings and experiences from the contactee era to the disclosure era to now, which is kind of the private space venture era.
You know what, Sue? Let's do a break.
Okay.
And then we'll get into that. We've got Sue. We've got Ufology. We've got our guest co-host, Micah Hanks. More to come. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IBC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 100 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus, from wherever you are, on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, call 1-800-933-1430. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates, and why 90% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU online degrees, call 1-800-933-1430. That's 1-800-933-1430.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We also have a second radio show called After the Paracast, and what's that all about? Well, that's about getting our special subscription package for the show called Paracast Plus, and for Paracast Plus, we give you the commercial-free version of the show. We give you a small number of show transcripts with certain people working on more of them, we hope. And then we also have some classic episodes. We also have the After the Paracast podcast where we sometimes continue the interview. We continue the discussion or we have something totally different. So last week, for example, and this is where we got in trouble with Chris, we were talking about the possibility that major political upheavals or major events that change things a lot will bring with them lots and lots of sightings. So, for example, when we had all the things around the Watergate episode in the early 70s, think about the UFO flaps all over the place. Or when Reagan was elected president in 1980, a lot of changes in the way the political structure was run in the U.S. and various programs and everything. Lots of paranormal events. So that was one particular thing right there. That great change politically, after World War II, of course, will often bring about an increase in paranormal events. And that might be the only sort of pattern we see. In any case, to learn more about the Paracast Plus, go to plus.theparacast.com. It is spelled P-L-U-S dot theparacast.com. Now, you've had your organization going, Randall, for several decades.
Right.
Have you seen a pattern in UFOs? We used to have ley lines. We used to have 7-year flaps, 5-year flaps. But every time you try to hone in on one of those patterns, it changes.
It seems to me, and this is the biggest pattern that I've noticed, is that in the beginning of the modern era, they were a lot more visible to us. They were elusive still, but they didn't seem to do the vanishing act that we see. And it seems that as our technology to detect them has increased in sophistication, they've increased their ability to avoid that detection.
Sounds like kind of the trickster element there that Chris often talks about. But that's an interesting point to raise, and I'll ask your opinions about it. On the PowerCast, we've talked to people who are working on UFO detectors, like this group from Canada that is going to launch a low Earth orbit satellite, or Mark D'Antonio and Doug Trumbull doing their particular UFO detection project, or UFO data with Leslie Kane and a number of people from the Center for UFO Studies. So do you think having all this technology at our beck and call, when we get this UFO detector system up, the UFO or those responsible for the UFO presence, they'll just change their methodology?
Well, I think that's what they've been doing all along. That's been the pattern. So really, it seems that it's up to them to decide whether or not they want to reveal themselves to us. It might increase the chances that if they make a mistake or they're not fully prepared, that we might catch something by accident. But that kind of leads into the whole concept of, well, how much more proof do we really need now? There's those who are willing to accept that alien visitation is a reality, and those who are skeptical about it and will refuse to believe, probably unless they were given a free pass to a mothership tour.
So, well, that sounds like fun.
You know, and even then, I'm not sure that they would actually believe. So my question of the whole disclosure thing is it really necessary, or should those of us who already know they're here try to get on with the business of doing what we would do on the assumption that they are already here? What next?
Yeah, but doesn't that also create the climate for making UFOs into a religion? We already believe they're here. It's like saying we believe God is here, and I'm not attacking any particular religion. I'm just making them similar, that we know God is here, that God is watching us. We know the UFOs are here. We know UFOs are watching us. I think we have to go to the next step. It's not about belief. It's about what we can prove.
Well, I think that it's reasonable to believe that they're here based on the evidence that's out there. And scientific evidence isn't the only standard by which it's reasonable to believe things. Religion, on the other hand, is involved with a lot of mythology, and there's just not enough good evidence to support a belief in certain kinds of religious deities. So I think you make a really good point that we have to be careful not to make up things that aren't reasonable or logically consistent. But if we be really careful about walking that line and don't go over it into the cult of personality or the want to believe that their space brother's here to save the planet type of thing, I think that we can still have a worldview that includes the reality of alien visitation, as opposed to being simply unsure that it really exists because we can't scientifically prove it.
I love the standard of logical consistency applied to the presence of aliens. The problem I have with the argument that there's enough to believe that they're here, without getting into the argument itself, is that there are a lot of people who disagree. So what to make of their disagreement? Are they all just wrong? To me, that's a reason to reflect further and not rush to belief on my own part. But I think, you know, the criteria of having logical consistency and plausible arguments can only forward things.
You know, what Sue's talking about right there brings us back to a subject that you and I've addressed in the past before here on the PowerCast, Gene, which is, how can science be applied to a methodology for the study of this phenomena? And one of the issues I think that we face with UFOs is, quite simply, unlike in the scientific community where we look at the data and we say, well, with this data we have a consensus opinion based on what is most likely, and therefore this is what science holds to be true based on our observations. With UFOs, as Sue outlines, and I think coming back to Randall's statements about, there does seem to be enough to qualify for a discussion, and yes, we can make certain determinations about that, but there doesn't seem to really be a consensus opinion about what exactly the nature of UFOs, if we take this to be anything, I would say alien maybe rather than extraterrestrial, just because that would account for a number of non-human things, and that's still distinctly a hypothetical to me. But again, we don't seem to have that consensus opinion among ufologists about what exactly we're dealing with. I mean, again, extra-dimensional phenomena, man-made technologies that are kept off the books, alien visitation, time travelers from the future. Some of this may sound absurd to the more skeptical thinkers, but nonetheless, these are all things that have made their way into the discussion. And really, there still seems to be no real hard consensus about this is most likely what's going on. Many would argue that extraterrestrial visitation is that consensus. And for the ufological community on the whole, maybe it is. But again, I sort of still abstain from judgment because there are so many different varieties of things that UFOs still seem to be capable of being. And so perhaps that consensus does elude us in a sense, and that would maybe be the difference between the scientific worldview versus, you know, the actual intelligence that we have about UFOs and what to do with it.
Oh, some great points there, Micah. I happen to agree with you completely that using the word alien is the way to go with it, because however it boils down, once we begin talking about the subject matter in terms of UFOs, what people were seeing and investigating back when the term was first coined, we were talking about flying saucers. UFOs and flying saucers are essentially the same thing. UFO became a euphemism for flying saucers, and we don't know exactly where they come from, but we sure know they don't come from around here, at least within the bounds of our known civilization. And by every definition, wherever they come from, that does make them alien.
Yeah, very good points there, Randall.
We assume that alien doesn't necessarily mean from another planet.
Exactly.
It could be an alien race that is local to us, but alien in the sense that it's not something that is part of any particular country. I mean, we refer to immigrants at times as aliens. You know, one of the pejorative terms for immigrants that are undocumented in the U.S. is illegal aliens. And
exactly.
I think, okay, well, maybe we're talking about the ones who have gray skins and they're short. We have Randall, we have Sue, we have Micah Hanks, and Chris O'Brien's on special assignment. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Do you ever feel like you're being watched? Like someone or some company is tracking your every move online? I know I do. That's why I trust Private Internet Access VPN to keep me safe when I'm online. I use it to encrypt my traffic and use an anonymous IP address. Private Internet Access keeps your internet traffic safe from unwanted eyes so you can finally feel safe. $40 a year for peace of mind is a no-brainer. Sign up today at PrivateInternetAccess.com. Once again, that's PrivateInternetAccess.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Listener Roundtable with our guest co-host Micah Hanks and Sue and Randall, and we're talking about alien UFOs and what that threshold means. On the other hand, we see more and more indications of exoplanets. We were talking to Mark D'Antonio, an astronomer, last week about this. More and more planets out there in the cosmos that may have conditions suitable to life. And maybe we are a bunch of happy accidents here to get where we are, although some people think this is a kind of accident that needs to be cleaned up. Regardless, it does create at least the mathematical possibility that's happened elsewhere, and maybe very often.
That was an excellent show, by the way. Excellent guest, excellent show.
So, what do we do?
Well, I think the ETH is reasonably the most logical way to look at the situation, but it's not the only one, as Micah said. The ETH is logical. It has logical consistency. It has plausibility. We look to be doing the same thing ourselves in the future, traveling out to other star systems. So there's not much reason to think that they might not be coming here. On the other hand, things like extra-dimensional or time travelers, although we see that a lot in science fiction, and there is some science, mostly pop science, that claims it's possible, really, when you look at it from a logical consistency point of view, it's not really possible. Not in the way people think of it. So I think we can rule out some things and say other things are more favorable.
Yeah, I think it's important, by the way, as we're all having this conversation, to be willing to be open-minded about potentials and possibilities. I can sense that all of us are putting forward ideas and we're fairly discussing things that, like you say, Randall, maybe they are not as logically plausible as certain other potentials. And, you know, because in the past, for instance, and I wrote a book a few years ago called The UFO Singularity that looked at, well, let's look at some hypotheticals. If we were talking about, for instance, alien visitation, we are now seeing the rigors of space travel before us and the kinds of things that happen to biological life that spends time in space. I mean, we see swelling of the eyes and other organs. We see atrophy of musculature. We see a lot of things that are negatively impacting biology when we, presumably humans or anyone else or any other kind of biological life form, spends time off planet because we evolved to exist in this habitat, in this gravitational environment here on planet Earth. That's one example of a number of different things that the rigors of space travel may present in terms of issues we would face trying to become a space-faring civilization ourselves. So as a hypothetical, with that book, and I didn't want it to be called The UFO Singularity, I've talked about this many times, but my wonderful publishers, and I mean that in true love because they're wonderful people and I'm friends with them, but, you know, publishers do tend to pick out the titles of books, and they wanted UFO in the title. Therefore, many interpreted the meaning of that book as being, this is what Micah Hanks believes, or if I didn't seem to state it as belief that UFOs are some roboticized intelligence that has augmented itself, perhaps post-biologically, which is why the book was called UFO Singularity, it did bring into the discussion artificial intelligence and transhumanism. These seem like logical things that would probably befit an advanced civilization in order for them to be able to become interstellarly mobile, we'll say. But again, you know, these are hypotheticals, and I think it's fair to be able to talk about hypotheticals and look at the likelies versus the more unlikelies and still have a fair discussion. I'm glad we're having this discussion, but I just want to point out that as much as I, in my own book, or as Randall discusses these things, you know, or as Sue brings certain points to the table here, or even Gene for that matter, I mean, we can have that discussion without saying this is what we believe. I'm sure someone will listen to this roundtable discussion at some point and say, well, you know, Randall seems to believe this, or Sue seemed to think that. It's important to have this discussion and look at these possibilities outside of what the most logical primaries may be. And I think that that's great that you bring up time travel in that context because, yeah, while it does seem to be a generic feature of relativity and it does seem to be consistent with relativistic views on physics, it does not seem likely that it is something that, at least in any future sense that we might all live to see, that will become something that is a actual reality, i.e. time travelers from the future. And many argue we haven't seen any evidence of them either, unless, of course, and even Carl Sagan pointed this out, we have mistaken some phenomena for being something else rather than that. And he had even said at times, perhaps UFOs, ghosts, something along those lines could be that evidence of the time travelers. We have mistaken it as being something else. Who knows? I think it's fair to be open-minded about these kind of things and sure have the discussion.
Yeah, exploring the possibilities is what makes UFOs fun.
Absolutely. And great points, Micah.
Well, thank you.
I certainly don't know for sure myself where they come from, but I certainly do believe they're here, or at least have been here in the recent future.
You know, taking a couple of real quick, by the way, I also want to say one theory that hasn't reached the table first, and Sue, maybe we'll go to you first on this one. Walter Bosley recently appeared on the Paracast here, and he was discussing, and he's often said the same thing, hey, I like to put hypotheticals on the table. People are constantly nitpicking over it. He says being able to express different ideas, sometimes those which, sure, may fall outside the general discussion of modern science. It's fun to be able to have these conversations, so let's have them. And one thing that he's brought to the table as far as his own interests is this idea of some sort of a indigenous civilization, a crypto-terrestrial civilization, or maybe a breakaway civilization, and how this has something to do with the UFO phenomena. Sue, or Randall, or both, what are your thoughts about this?
Breakaway civilization is a really new idea to me. I don't know how comfortable I am with it. I haven't read much or listened to much, so I can't really do it justice. I think my initial reaction would be to say that it's good to be open-minded about another order of existence out there that is separate from what we think of as the way things must be. And I always enjoy Walter Bosley's stuff because he comes up with such crazy ideas, and you make such good arguments for them. It's a lot of fun to read.
Yeah, sure. It is fun, and Bosley's an interesting character, but I don't buy into the breakaway civilization thing. Although there have been some people who've looked at it not so much as a separate civilization, say, living on an island someplace that we haven't discovered yet, but actually mixed in within our own society in ways that we're not immediately aware of through secrecy and corporate and government projects and that sort of thing. But I think it's important to separate those two ideas. In either case, I don't think there's enough evidence for it simply because the technology that the UFOs have demonstrated is just so far beyond anything that we've developed ourselves, even since the beginning of flight. That would mean that wherever they come from, if they come from Earth, they must have come from some distant past, and there's not enough archaeological evidence to support that either. It would require a large civilization and a lot of infrastructure, and there just simply isn't any evidence of it. So the ancient aliens, I'm sorry to have to say, for those who are listening, go onto YouTube and look up a video called Ancient Aliens Debunked, and it is really a good counter to the ancient aliens hypothesis. It's very sensible and scientific, and anyone who believes in the ancient aliens hypothesis should have a look at that.
Yeah, I often get a lot of flack for being so dismissive of the ancient alien hypothesis. When asked to come on that program, the first question, of course, you were typically asked by the producers is, are you an advocate of the ancient alien hypothesis? And so when asked that question myself, of course, my response was, well, no, but I think I could offer some good skeptical positions on that. And, of course, I wasn't invited back to be on the show, but the producers and I had a nice conversation nonetheless. I'll say that if we were to redefine breakaway civilization and put it in a slightly different context, once again, much like UFOs, perhaps the problem is we don't have a real consensus idea of what exactly we mean when we say that. When Richard Dolan brought that idea into the dialogue a few years ago, he said, I just put it out as just, again, a hypothetical. I had no idea that there would be conferences that were built around it and other authors would take up the mantle and write books about it. And he says, and I don't necessarily endorse the idea. But what if a breakaway civilization, rather than being something ancient, which I agree, Randall, seems far from likely to me, what if it were a technological presence within our existing international, political, economic, a technological sphere, something that is kept off the books, but once again is representative of an element within Earth civilization today that is moving apart from and under cover of secrecy? Many think that that is entirely unlikely, but I would say it must be at least as plausible as the idea of ET visitation to Earth. It would seem unusual that such things would be kept from the public, but once again, this brings us back to the discussion of innumerable things that have been kept from public knowledge. Think about MKUltra. They had hoped, the CIA, that the documents that actually detailed the atrocities that occurred, the illegal activities, they had hoped that they would be destroyed before they could actually be released to the public. A few of the documents were not and made it to the congressional review that occurred a few years later. And that's how we even know about it. And yes, and so that discourse has at very least been kept mostly off the record.
Our guest co-host is Micah Hanks. We have Ufology and Sue as part of our listener roundtable. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Do you ever feel like you're being watched? Like someone or some company is tracking your every move online? I know I do. That's why I trust Private Internet Access VPN to keep me safe when I'm online. I use it to encrypt my traffic and use an anonymous IP address. Private Internet Access keeps your internet traffic safe from unwanted eyes so you can finally feel safe. $40 a year for peace of mind is a no-brainer. Sign up today at PrivateInternetAccess.com. Once again, that's PrivateInternetAccess.com.